Trying a little experiment this time, something we haven't tried at UK North Meeting before, which is a discussion panel. Jeff Bennett from Infinera, who you may recall spoke a couple of UK North Meetings ago, suggested that we have a panel on the current content crunch or net neutrality debate. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the comments in the media over the past few weeks from the BBC and Virgin and Tiscali and one or two others. And certainly for those of us who've been involved in NANOG like I have, a lot of it sounds very familiar to some of the sort of eyeball content wars that were going on a few years ago in the US market. And network neutrality is still a hot issue there as well. So what we're going to do is Jeff is going to present his thoughts on the topic. And then we have four panel members, Neil McRae from Cable and Wireless, Patrick Gilmore from Akamai, and you had blank on this, Tony Ballady from Global Mix, and James Blessing from Internet, our hosts, and also wearing an ISPA hat. So with that, and one final comment that I will make is that UK North's mission and focus is supposed to be operational, not regulatory. So it'd be nice if we could try and focus on the technical and engineering challenges that we're facing, and not spend the entire session regulator bashing. With that, I'll fire off and let Jeff take things forward.
Thanks, Keith. Despite that, I am going to blame Ofcom, obviously. So. The content crunch, really what this is about is has been tended to be focused by the launch of the iPlayer. Now, there's lots of other video, of course, on the internet, but the iPlayer has really brought things into focus because of how popular it is, and for other reasons I'll explain. So what I plan to do is talk for about 15 minutes, and then we'll invite the panelists up, and we can have a chat about it. But in this introduction, what I'll try and explain is, is this really happening? Why might this be happening? Who's to blame? What are the potential solutions? Actually, broadly speaking, that's what the panel is supposed to be about. Is the iPlayer actually killing the internet? And of course, the iPlayer, we kind of label it as one thing, but there are two distinct versions of the iPlayer. There's a download version of the iPlayer, and there's a streamed version of the iPlayer. The download version is peer served, so potentially it will just trundle along in the background and respond to issues of network congestion. It's really the streaming iPlayer that tends to bring things into focus, because that's actually running at about 512 kilobits per second for the duration of the TV program that you watch, 30-minute show or a 60-minute show. So is it actually killing the internet? Well, of course, there have been lots of concerns about it, that it's going to cause an internet meltdown. And I must admit, I with my long-distance understanding, I used to understand IP, I don't these days, but, my consideration would have been that the way IP traffic behaves versus network load is that if you look at the level where ordinary applications fail, and by that I don't mean the protocol breaks or the application crashes, I mean that the human being gives up on it. So applications like email, it's taking too long to download your email, or attachments won't download, or it's taking too long to deal with a web page or to complete a financial transaction. The level of traffic in the network for those kinds of applications to fail is actually quite high. And if you look at the level where streaming video will fail, the network load is a lot lower, where the user says, well, I don't like this kind of spiraling wait message that's happening on the iPlayer. I'm actually going to quit the application. So because that's that seems to be the case, it occurs to me that when the network gets congested, people actually just close the iPlayer streaming window because it doesn't work. And so that's at a level before the ordinary applications stop working. So we can say, well, hurrah, the problem's solved. It's kind of it's an easy thing, really. We don't need to worry. Now, I mean, that's certainly one view of things. And of course, my job in this 15 minutes is actually to say some controversial things, not necessarily the things I believe. But perhaps that really isn't the point. I mean, do we really want to be building a UK internet that's specifically engineered to discourage innovative applications? I think the answer to that is probably no. But who will pay for the consequences of that? You know, who will pay for a real 21st century broadband network for the UK? So why is this happening? Well, if we look at the iPlayer bottleneck, there's my house over there, and there's the BBC iPlayer servers sitting somewhere in the network. The bottleneck could actually be anywhere, because there's clearly a local loop connection into my exchange. There's the exchange connection backhaul into my ISP. There's the peering and transit connection, broadly speaking, into the BBC's ISP. And then there's the business service that the that the BBC has into their iPlayer, into their ISP. I wonder if I can get this over this side. Let's try. There we go. So somewhere along that pathway, there could be a bottleneck. And of course, there are two broad candidates for this. There's the local loop and the backhaul. If I look at my local loop performance, my exchange is not unbundled, and in fact, I was pointed to the appropriate site to find out when I'll be on 21CN, and it's like never. So I'm about a mile from the exchange. I'm fortunate enough to have copper cable, not aluminium cable, and when I go to an appropriate testing site, it says, "Oh, you should be able to get up to 6 megabits." Of course, I actually get up to 2 megabits because I don't have an ADSL 2+ line card in the DSLAM in my exchange. Well, I did earlier on. he's the one that told me about that. But the good news is, at least I get that figure. If I go to an online speed test, I actually do get a little bit more than 2 megabits. So that's good news. And for most purposes, I can get the iPlayer to work. Because I work from home, of course, I don't work from home 24 hours a day. So, you know, when I stop for a coffee break or lunch and I want to catch up on an episode of QI, during the week, the iPlayer works fine. So it can't be my local loop connection, because if it works sometimes, why doesn't it work always? So the obvious, and I should say that I'm not alone in being in that position, of course. If we look at the breakdown of UK, how people get broadband in the UK, this is from Telco 2.0, but it's the figures that various ISPs publish, and I guess Ofcom totalizes some of this. We have 3.5 million people who can get cable. I can't. The cable actually stops about 400 yards short of my house, and of course Virgin haven't got the money to build out new infrastructure at the moment. There are about 3.2 million people on unbundled exchanges. My exchange is not unbundled. So I'm actually sitting in that majority slice, the 8.5 million subscribers in the UK who are still going through a wholesale connection. So the backhaul is the most likely culprit, certainly in my case. Unfortunately, I can only do this empirically. So when in the evenings, my streaming iPlayer just grinds to a halt, I can tell that it's the 50-to-1 contention ratio or whatever it is in the backhaul connection. Unfortunately, I can't know for certain because, of course, ISPs are not required to publish the backhaul contention rates or the load levels from exchanges. Now, an average number, well, that would be fairly useless, of course, but at least it'd be better than nothing. But a per exchange number would be extremely useful because as a consumer, surely I have the right to decide which service is likely to give me the best performance. And of course, at the moment, I've no real way of telling that. So, you know, we have these mythical figures of 20-to-1 contention for business broadband and 50-to-1 contention for residential broadband. I suspect these were thought up about 10 or 15 years ago. They mean pretty much nothing these days. But you know, these are the numbers that we as consumers are told. So it strikes me that at 50-to-1 contention, if that really is a number that we can give any credence to, it's not a sustainable contention rate for an application like the iPlayer. And in some respects, the iPlayer represents the perfect storm for these networks, because it combines three specific problems into one aspect, which is, okay, I've said it's a high demand application. It's not that high demand. 512 kilobits per second for the streaming iPlayer isn't particularly high demand. If they went to, I meant to actually put in the classic diagram of how much different kinds of video use on a network, but broadly speaking, we're looking at about 1 megabit per second for TV quality using a decent compression, 4 megabits per second for DVD quality using MPEG-2, less than that if you're using MPEG-4. If you go to high definition, it could be 4 megabits per second for really compressed high definition with MPEG-4, right out to 20 megabits per second for lightly compressed HDTV, which would be the case for sporting events where you can't do that high compression in real time. So for live sporting events, you tend to have very high bandwidth streams. But anyway, you know, it represents a moderate demand application. It's an application that goes on for a while. It's not like internet traffic that we're used to, which is very bursty. And so when you get the statistical multiplexing, you can imagine the combs from different users interleaving nicely. iPlayer doesn't do that because it goes on at that moderately high rate for the duration of the TV program, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, as I said earlier. And it's very popular. It's not, you know, some stupid cat doing tricks on somebody's lawn. This is BBC content. It is the gold standard for all content, TV content around the world. So it's very, very popular. So whose fault is it? You're waiting for this, surely. And in fact, I've got a long list of potential candidates here. It could be the UK government, because as politicians, their broadband policy effectively favoured quantity over quality. A politician never wants to get to the stage where he says to a constituent, oh no, you can't have this service in your particular exchange. What they were after was 100% broadband coverage, because they're politicians. Ofcom, of course it's their fault for not encouraging greater competition in the backhaul or requiring ISPs to publish per exchange contention rates, which would give consumers a good indication. It could be the ISPs for designing these networks to 50-to-1 contention rates in the first place, or for publishing using advertising material that says unlimited broadband. You know, when consumers see things like unlimited, they get quite surprised when they're forced to the small print that talks about fair use agreements. What about BT Wholesale? They ought to make the backhaul capacity a damn sight cheaper if they want to encourage more innovative applications. OpenReach, if we solve the backhaul contention rate, you can lay odds that we'll run into a local loop bottleneck next. And so, you know, maybe OpenReach should be thinking about how to roll out better local loop capabilities. And what about the content providers? It's really their fault, isn't it? Because they keep on rolling out these innovative applications. They should stop that. So, in the ISP's defense, like I say, you know, this is supposed to be a balanced set of statements. So if you think about the ISP's problem, early broadband adoption tended to create a spectrum of broadband users. This is the way the networks were built from an economic or a business plan point of view. So if you think about it, the large proportion of that broadband population were light users. They were people who only ever use the internet maybe, you know, twice a month. Maybe they're doing a bit of email, some chat, going to a website to book Ryanair tickets. You know, these are very, very light internet users. Then you have a population that might be moderate users. They're people who work from home. They're using voice over IP applications that need better latency performance in the network, better jitter performance. They may be using rich media applications because they are more savvy on the internet. And then you've got the high level users who these people are. They're the peer-to-peer file sharers. They're gamers. Now, gaming doesn't necessarily use a lot of bandwidth, but it does need low latency. And so you need a relatively uncongested link or a prioritized connection to do that. Now, that's really the classic pyramid of users that the ISPs design their networks to. And the problem with the iPlayer, really, it would be commercial suicide for ISPs to engineer the entire network just to support this tiny minority of high-level users, because all of these people would effectively be subsidizing those guys. Well, the problem with the iPlayer is it's turned a lot